Hi, I'm Sydney. Welcome to the Forbidden Cities, a Keeper of the Lost Cities podcast where JC and I talk about Keeper of the Lost Cities books, theories, characters, ships, and more. Hello, and welcome to the Forbidden Cities podcast.
Episode one.
Yeah, episode one. JC, what are we discussing today?
Unlocked.
Unlocked.
Yay, did I get it right?
Yes.
Okay. We didn't plan this.
Yeah, not at all.
It's almost like we orchestrated it. Nah, we're not powerful enough. We'll have to explain that at some point.
I'm a little confused.
Oh, so in Exile, remember Counselor Tarek steps forward and he's like, oh, it's so weird that like the most powerful elf in our cities met the most powerful creature, talking about Sylvany. And he's like, yeah. It's almost like the Blackstrawn orchestrated it. And then Aurelie steps forward. She's like, no, that's not possible.
Uh-huh. I get it now. Enough. We were literally just talking about that quote, and I still didn't get it.
Well, I just have it, like, stuck in my head now, because mm-hmm. I laughed really hard whenever I saw that.
Yeah.
But we do need to add that there is a spoiler warning for Unlocked, because,
yes.
You know, we're going to be telling you everything from it. So if you have not read mm-hmm. it and you don't want it spoiled.
Huge spoiler warning. We're going to discuss the whole book, everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just wait for our other episodes, because we might still reference Unlocked in them. So make sure you're caught up with the series before you listen.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. To begin, Sydney, go ahead.
Okay. First, I'd like to say we got Unlocked early, and I'm so excited that we got it early. I'm just really happy about that.
We had so much time to process all
of
our
should we tell them how we read
reactions?
It? Yes. How I read it?
So I read it the day that I got it, like, I think it was the Friday before that it came out,
mm-hmm.
and then Sydney came to my house the next day.
Yeah, I've recently moved close to her, which is how this is possible.
Exactly. So, she came to my house the next day, and I gave her my copy of it, because, you know, I was getting a second one on Tuesday, and I needed someone else to have read it, because I was dying inside from not saying spoilers to everyone I knew. So, I gave it to Sydney, and mm-hmm. she took it with her, and, Sydney, can you tell them what
yes.
we did?
Okay, so we did this. Was last year the first time we did this?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so last year, I got, what was it? Legacy before JC.
Mm-hmm.
We knew all the stuff about O'Reilly being Sophie's mom, and I was like, JC, you have to call me when you read this book, because we all know JC is obsessed with O'Reilly.
Very much.
And Kenrick. And she'd had the theory, we'd both had the theory that she was her mom for a long time.
Since 2016.
Yeah, for
since she gave Sophie Kenrick's catch. That's what made me say, huh, suspicious.
Yeah. So anyway, last year we started doing that, and then this year, for a full 7 hours, I just read the book on the phone with JC, and we stopped every, like, 3 paragraphs to discuss something. Mm-hmm. So I'd say 1/3 of that time was probably us just talking.
More than likely. And it was very late at night when we finished. Apparently, mm-hmm. by the way, if you're on the phone for 7 hours, it doesn't think you're on the phone anymore.
It cuts you off after 7 hours.
So we had to call back for, like, a second,
hour.
A couple hour
probably.
Phone call, yeah. Uh-huh. And I didn't sleep that night at all.
JC was just walking around her house doing chores while listening to me be like, I was gasping audibly.
Yes, it was probably 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm just like cleaning my bathroom.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun, though.
Don't tell our parents.
They definitely won't be listening to this.
Yeah.
No, I can't see them actually listening to us, like, rambling about. They have to listen to me do that enough.
Yeah.
I randomly called my mom the other day to rant about Unlocked while I was waiting for you to get it. I think it was mm-hmm. Friday night. Oh, it was torture.
Whoa. I just broke the table. Okay, we fixed it.
It does that.
Yeah. Okay. First things first. JC, let's try to rank the book, because I thought it was so good. I was so happy when I finished it.
But then, I looked at the Amazon reviews, and all these people are like, I can't believe it's just 200 pages. One star. They're all so mad. And
no!
I'm like, but she had to do this.
It's so good. Okay, so this is in my notes to talk about, too.
Okay, just
I'm
go ahead.
Just gonna go with it. I'm very happy she wrote the book the way she did, because she could not have done it without Keith's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been so weird. Like, Keith would have just, spoiler, you know, like we said, Keith would have just disappeared, like,
for weeks. It,
yeah. Kinda, and he'd be like, why on earth did he do that? We would be so mad.
Yeah.
Like, at the very end, imagine.
And I think it's important to, like, know why he wasn't talking, because since he stopped talking, how on earth were we supposed to know what he was thinking?
Uh-huh. And then he would have literally, all we would see was the note he wrote to Sophie at the end. And like, then we'd be like, Keith, you've done it again. But now we know his reasoning this time.
Yeah. Sophie doesn't know.
It was written so well.
I loved it.
I'm very happy really with
it. See, I'm completely happy. I get disappointed in a book if Orly doesn't come into it that much. So this book for me was, like, very exciting. Now, of course, I'm very, very disappointed in Sophie because, like, what has she ever done to you? But I love the book, and Keith, Dex, just every character.
It was just so meaningful. There's nothing that bored me in this book.
It was a lot packed into 200 pages.
We're going to talk all about that, but
yes. Yeah. I feel like she fit a lot in there for just a 200-page book, and you can read it really slowly, and it can last you a long time. And the series guide is really important and actually hilarious. So don't just skip over that, because that, I feel like, is going to be important for the next book. Otherwise, she would have just written the book longer.
I haven't read it carefully, but I've skimmed everything.
Mm-hmm. Same. Yeah. I'm probably going to end up reading it, you know, whenever I'm in torture waiting for the next one.
Oh,
but
yeah, me too.
I think it is important.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have no idea what that
I'm just very excited about the way she did this. And it's really good that she didn't just give us a 200-page book, too. Mm-hmm. She gave us a lot of extra stuff. And important the art stuff. Is so pretty.
Yes. I got so to see happy. The council. I've been it wanting looks, to see the council since book one.
What just, looks I'm like we imagined that. It. Ro doesn't look like I imagined
oh
her.
Oh, my goodness.
Sandor
she scares
doesn't.
Me.
No. But the scenes that Keith
Orly
drew,
looks like I imagined her.
Yeah. The council looks really good, except Kenric.
Sydney's disappointed in it. Can you please tell them why?
Kenric's smile.
What was the other reason, though? The more important reason.
Why I'm disappointed.
He doesn't have freckles.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't have freckles. Smile is just, like, creepy.
It is. She's going to do a better Kenric drawing, probably one day.
Probably. I'm learning digital art, so.
She's a very good artist.
Oh, thanks.
You drew a picture of Orly a long time ago, and it looks really similar to the one that we got.
Oh, yeah. Except she looked a lot younger. Maybe I can redo that on digital.
Making her look younger.
That'd be cool. Okay, but anyway, the Keith scenes, though. We both agreed the legacy scene that was drawn looked just like we imagined.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Like, literally, the room around them, that's exactly how I pictured the floor, the ceiling. I was looking at it, and I was just like, how did...
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really good.
Yes.
Okay. And I have here JC's initial O'Reilly rant. Can go here. So, get it out.
Sophie, why... Okay. I'm really disappointed in the way that Sophie responded to Orly being her mom. Like, who would she rather have as her mom? She's done the most out of any character in the series to help you. The only reason that she stayed on the council and didn't leave with Kenric, and you know this, Sophie, like, you saw the memory, the only reason she stayed was to be an ally for you. I don't understand the problem.
It's really ironic that O'Reilly gave up her love life for Sophie, and now Sophie's mad because she can't have a love life.
Right. And
or she can if she just finds someone who's selfless.
That's the thing.
Keith.
And the self-control Orly has to not just be like, oh, you want me to leave the council? Okay, then let's try it. I will call Emery right now and tell him. And we'll see if they stay on your side. Because Sydney has faith in the council. She thinks they'll stay on Sophie's side.
No, not in that case.
Well, okay.
Yeah, I have more faith. Yeah, I have more faith in the council than you, but not that much faith.
Not that much faith, but if I was her, I would have lost patience with Sophie by then. I would have been like, okay, really, if you want me to leave the council, I'll leave the council. We'll see what happens. Have fun on your own. But
the council needs some reformation.
That's what Kenric was there for. Because if you notice how much he swayed their decisions, and at the end of Exile, he does like this whole speech because they're really going to like relocate the Alicorn to the Hexes, and then he like talks to them, and it's just like this this thing where at the end he's like, you know, if we do such and such, we're going to be just as bad as the Never Seen or something. Mm-hmm. Or if we punish Sophie for existing, something like that. And the whole council's like, yeah, he's right. We're going to not punish Sophie.
Yeah.
So back to rating the books, because we kind of skimmed over that. So what's your favorite book so far?
Okay, so before Unlocked, the order for me probably went... Never Seen's always been my favorite, just because that was the one that we got stuck on and had to do the year wait for the longest.
Yep.
And it just, it's just the one that kickstarts the rest of the series. So Never Seen is probably always going to stay my favorite. Nightfall and Legacy, I also love. I really loved Legacy.
Me too.
Yeah. But Unlocked, for what it was, I don't want to rank it. Like you said, it's hard to rank it with the other books. But for how good it is, it's up there. Like, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And it was, a lot in 200 pages. Mm-hmm. It's kind of similar. Like, almost the same number of events as a longer book would be.
Yeah.
Just a longer book had a lot more about the ships interjected into it.
Yeah. That's why, it's smaller, but it being smaller made me not dislike anything about it. Like, you know, Flashback, you had the whole hospital thing. It's just the other books are so drawn out, which I love because it gives you so much to read and so much, you're immersed in the world. But this one, it might be, my second or third favorite now. I don't know yet. I'd have to figure it out. JC, what about you? What are your favorites?
My favorites? So it's kind of continually changing. But like I said, I get really happy about a book if Orly's in it and if Keefe is in it a lot. Or if Keefe is important in it, mostly. So I like Legacy, and I like Lodestar, and I like Everblaze. And then I also really like Unlocked. And then, not necessarily in that order. I think, I don't know. I'd say...
She likes Lodestar a lot.
I do like Lodestar a lot. It's all hardcover.
It's helpful because, besides the first two books, we kind of have different books that we really love. And so it helps us find things for our theories.
Because we just... read the books.
Yeah, if it's in Nightfall or Never Seen, I'll find it. If it's in Lodestar or Everblaze, JC will find it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even, did you say Legacy?
Oh, yeah, and then Legacy. JC's read Legacy more than me, sadly.
I've read it a lot.
I can't find Legacy. I'm really sad. I don't know where it is.
She just moved, so she's still locating all of her belongings.
Yes. Okay, so rank them, though.
Okay, number one, probably Lodestar. I don't know.
Called it.
With Keefe there at the end and everything. That
Lodestar
scene,
is so good.
That scene with Forkel, I cried, a lot. That was I think the first time I really cried in a book or a movie at all ever. I cried. And my sister made fun of me. And then she cried in this last book. This is the same one who likes Bronson and Raleigh. But I think she stopped that after I kind of,
In my defense, it was, five in the morning.
It's an emotional scene. It really, the ending part. I went up there. It was probably the same night that Cindy finished it. I think it was 12 or 1. And she called me up there and she
her
had
sister
to
did.
Work. Yeah, my sister did. She had to work at 7 o'clock the next morning. So she had to be up at 5:45. I was why are you still awake? And she goes, did you cry whenever you finished it? And I was no. And she's just bawling. And I was
Amy.
She never shows emotions. It was so weird. I was are you okay? And then I was are you going to start sympathizing with me about Kenrick? And she was no.
Ah, Amy.
That's why. Okay, favorite. The reason a book is my favorite is because it emotionally moved me in some way. So it got me excited, sad.
That's
like
why
that.
I loved Never Seen. It was it's just good.
That's why Everblaze is my second favorite, but it moves around a lot with Legacy and Unlocked all the way up there. Legacy would probably be my third, and then Unlocked is my fourth. Probably. For now. As I reread books, they change. So Legacy used to not be quite as high.
I'd have to reread my four again to tell you. Like I said, I think Never Seen's going to stay at the top just because it's been there so long. It's hard to let go of it. But I really liked Unlocked.
It was great. All right, continuing. Yeah. So
there was something else I wanted to say, but I don't know what it was. Okay, moving on.
So the first sort of part ends.
Yeah, so we're
unlocked.
I went through and looked at all the chapters, and so we're going to go through chapter by chapter.
Yes.
And discuss them. So
it's going to be amazing. So the first part has my favorite part in the entire book, Orly and Sophie and Kenrick's catch. The scene. The preview, it came out as a preview scene before the actual thing came out, and I read it, and I was like, this is going to be the best book ever. Orly starts the book off, guys. I'm so excited. And then the rest of the preview came out, I think, right after that, and we could read it from the beginning, and I was like, I have no words. It's beautiful. So, Sydney, would you like to talk about it a little bit?
Let's see.
I'll probably interrupt you.
Okay. So, sorry for being biased to Sokeith, as always. But the Kin Rally and Sokeith parallels.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, I have this quote right here. Right. It's,
They're both one telepath and an empath.
Yes, that's true. I didn't even think about that.
It's, yeah.
I feel so dumb. So, here's the quote I have. Kinrick says, "You've always had a flair for the dramatic, Aura. It's one of my favorite things about you." And then Orally says, "Stop trying to distract me." And then Kinrick says, "But I'm so good at it." Kinrick flashed a smug grin as he stepped closer, so close the toes of their shoes touched. It's literally Keith and Sophie. There's even that part I've never seen where it's like their eyelashes fluttered. It's at the end. It's at the end.
Yeah. It's near whenever they release Sylvanie.
Or like he had snowflakes on his eyelash. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And
I know this part because it's right before the council shows up. And if the council's ever in a scene, I know it.
Yeah, JC has all the counselors memorized. Don't recite them.
Oh.
Sorry. But yeah, she does. Yeah. But it's literally reading that, I was like, Shannon?
I literally, whenever I read that, sobbed, and my mom looked at me from across the room and went, "Are you reading Keeper of the Lost Cities? What happened to Kenrick?"
Okay, Mom. Do you have more thoughts about this?
It's adorable. I miss Kenrick. Mm-hmm. That's all my thoughts. They're not important thoughts.
Poor Orally.
And it's
having to
I'm
see.
I'm so worried about her. We'll talk about that in her section, but I'm so worried about her.
Mm-hmm. Kinrick. You could talk about her right now because this is her
sure.
scene part.
All right. I'm very worried
we'll
about
move on from Orally, I promise.
Whenever she can finally drag me away from talking about her. I'm very worried about her mind shattering because there have been hints, sort of, just things that make me feel like either she's going to die or something's going to happen. A lot of my friends have been telling me that. But the way your mind shatters is from guilt, and they also said in a different book, from grief. I think they said both of those in Exile. So I don't know if there's a character in the series who's had more like of a combination of the two than she has, because she's said in Nightfall she was guilty about Forkel dying because he stopped Gethin from killing her. She said in Never Seen that she at least partially blames herself for Kinrick's death, and of course, you know, there's the grief with that.
That's a lot of death.
There's
in the Lost Cities.
Added, right. And then there's added guilt because she watched the memory where she didn't leave the council, and she knows, because Forkel, like I said, she was smart, but obviously she's smart. She knows that if she had left the council, Kinrick wouldn't have been on it whenever the healing happened, and he wouldn't have died. So there's just a lot of that. And then also whenever Sophie's yelling at her for being a counselor and helping her or whatever, yeah. She said, you know, "I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you." And Sophie said, "Well, you have." And Orly said, "I know, and I have to live with that." And it said, like, the crack in her voice pierced Sophie's heart, and then but her shrapnel heart snapped her back into the present. No,
yeah.
You're good. But Sophie's furthering that guilt, and I've been afraid for a really long time that something's going to happen to her since Lodestar, where, you know, she almost died and Sydney panicked me. I was very, very scared. But, yeah, her mind's going to shatter, and the only person who can heal broken minds is Sophie, and that's going to be a whole episode of drama. It's going to be great.
Yep. So, I thought this would be a good place to talk about it. One of the things I noticed when reading
through the guide. We're talking about the Phoenix thing.
Oh, no.
Okay. So it just stuck out to me. None of the rest stuck out to me. But we know the black swan likes to compare people. And Shannon likes to compare people to birds. And this was interesting about the Phoenix. I'm going to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it says Phoenix. Eagle-sized reddish birds with flame-resistant feathers, best known for their strange way of reproducing, which is likely the source of many human myths. Phoenixes are only able to conceive at the end of their lives, and they do not lay eggs like other birds. Instead, the baby develops inside the mother, who sheds her feathers as the pregnancy progresses. And when the last feather falls, she steps into the fire, sacrificing herself for the new life that rises from her ashes and is cared for by the father, whose sweat provides a food source for the first few weeks. So, immediately when I read that, I was like, a rally?
Sacrifices?
Sacrificing yourself? Strange way of reproducing? Fire?
So, by the way, whenever you said this part in the series gets stuck out to me, I knew exactly what you were about to say, and my hands started shaking.
You knew about it?
Yes. Well, just now whenever you were saying it.
Oh.
Because you warned me that you were going to mention it.
Uh-huh. And I when I mentioned it, I was like... Oh, so you did read it before this.
Yes, I did read it. And I said, wait for me to react in front of the microphone. Yes, I am terrified. I don't know what that means. I've been really afraid that she's going to die at some point. Mm-hmm. But if she dies,
like, instead of her mind shattering... It's just so poetic, a phoenix and a moonlark.
I don't know if I will be able to emotionally recover from this. I'm not going to start crying. Okay, we're going to move on.
Yeah, so you heard it here first.
If she dies.
Yeah.
If she dies, I'm going to have an emotional breakdown for
that's the first real hint I found, and it could be nothing.
But you know, put that there for a reason.
Yeah, Shannon put that there for a reason. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Help me.
Okay. So here I have Kenrick as a washer. Any thoughts about that? I just thought it was fitting. Yeah. It made so much sense.
They had said a lot about him being a powerful telepath, and... Mm-hmm. I guess it makes sense. I'm a little bit nervous for what they're going to find in his catch because they always said, you know, being a counselor meant that you had to know a lot of things. And he really, like, Orly was like, he always was really calm. But I remember now the emotions that he was feeling because you can't erase emotions. She was like, I remember him feeling really scared and he had never felt like that before. Mm-hmm. And so something really bad is going to be in his catch.
Yeah. Oof.
And it's going to affect Sophie's view of Kenrick. Because,
we'll see.
You saw how easy it was for her to change her opinion on Orly.
Yeah. Though she really loves Kenrick. I don't know.
She does. And that's going to be painful for me. If she goes all Sophie angry on Kenrick, I'm going to be like, okay, this is it, Sophie. We're moving to Keith's point of view now.
And I thought, I didn't think she would go that ballistic on a rally.
I mean, honestly, she's absolutely insane. I just don't understand her.
Yeah.
I mean, the initial reaction, like, at first, okay, yeah, she'll be a little mad, she'll be a little... But then, like, why aren't you over it, Sophie? She's not the... I mean, you thought Lady Cadence was your mom. You thought Bront was your dad. Those would have been bad. Like, they're actually bad people. She's been nice to you for as long as you've been in the Lost Cities. She's, like, risked her position as a counselor to give you Kenrick's catch and done numerous other things that are actually illegal, but she just wanted to help you. I don't know why you're still mad.
Okay, so now we have the theory stuff. Any thoughts on what... Is it... How do you say that? Elysian?
Elysian? Elysian? I'm not sure.
I'm just going to say Elysian.
All right, I'll go with it. Elysian.
Well, when I read that, because of the Percy Jackson series, I immediately knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
I had to look it up.
Oh, and then when we were talking...
It's like heaven, basically.
Yeah. I said that thing about, as far as I know, when it comes to the Greek myth about... Is it Greek or Roman? No, it's Greek.
Probably
it's
Greek.
Yeah.
Percy Jackson.
Percy Jackson, the second one is Roman, the second series.
I don't remember. I read it a really long time ago.
But anyway, Elysian is like the place where only the heroes get to go. Mm-hmm. There's like the Fields of Asphodel, which is where the ordinary people go, and then there's some other place. Oh yeah, some other place for the bad people.
Mm-hmm.
But remember when we were reading that, I was like, Elysian. Okay. Is Gisela making a place for only the talented? Only the really talented? Like, it's back to her selective,
survival of the fittest
thing. And, like, superior, elf, superior race, all of that.
Yeah, because Fenton made that whole speech in Lodestar about how elves are the greatest and they have to extinguish the humans or whatever. They didn't really I don't think he said extinguish. That'd be a little obvious. But I do think that their plan involves them choosing, using the criterion, which humans are the most qualified to be alive, then putting those humans in a human sanctuary of sorts. That was kind of their plan with Nightfall, I think. And then the rest of the humans doing something with them. We're not really sure. Maybe I'll talk about it more.
Or maybe even the elves, too. Stuff with the elves.
Maybe so. But they want the elves to be able to have most of the Earth instead of having to hide away in the Lost Cities. Yeah, that was one thing he ranted about. I also know everything about Fenton because, you know, he murdered Kenrick and I'm mad at him.
And then Keith's ability coming to play.
Yes.
It's just so fuzzy to me. Like, I know a lot of the pieces, but I feel like Sophie, like, their plans is so fuzzy.
Do we talk about that in a second?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, I'm going to... I have an idea of... I put it together in my head and it makes sense.
Okay.
I just don't understand one part about it, but we'll get to that.
So, Stellar Loon questions.
Anyway. What is Stellar Loon? What? Okay. I don't remember much about Stellar Loon.
I don't either.
It was, Orly said it. It was whenever Starlight and Lightning collided. It was in Legacy. Is that what you have?
Isn't it? So you wrote this question down. Isn't it mentioned? I'm looking.
It's in Legacy, I think, because I remember Orly saying something.
You should pause it.
We're gonna research, and we'll come right back. So the thing that's Starlight and Lightning, that's Ethertine. And then the thing that I was thinking of whenever I was thinking of Stellar Loon is that she tells Sophie later that Lady Drusilla said Stellar Loon. This is in Legacy, not Unlocked. Lady Drusilla said Stellar Loon, and she couldn't get the sound of it out of her brain.
Mm-hmm. And then I found in Legacy, Kenrick is talking
it's
and
an
he
unlocked.
Says... Oh, Unlocked.
Yeah, Cindy's in
Thank
Unlocked.
You. Kenrick says, oh no, O'Reilly says that the thing about the Forgotten Secret doesn't connect to anything. And then Sophie says, not even to Stellar Loon. And then Past O'Reilly says to Kenrick, does this Elysian thing have to do with whatever Stellar Loon is? And Kenrick sighs and says, I can't tell you that either. And then O'Reilly's like, you will tell me. And he's like flirting with her. So.
Oh, that was such a great scene. I was so happy about it. I missed, by the way. This is so random. I just miss Kenrick being in the book so much that whenever I read that scene, I was like... And then I went back and reread Exile. Okay.
So, wait, pause it again, because we should look for where Lady Drusilla says...
Stellar Loon. 1 second. Okay, so I found where she talks about it. This is before... So I'm going to start, like, in the last sentence in the quote
is
before.
Is that right?
Yeah, it starts out red while we're recording.
Gotcha.
So, Sophie's talking to Lady Drusilla whenever they're in the Dwarven City, and she says, you can stop deluding yourself. You've been experimenting on your son his entire life. Lady Drusilla shook her head. Trust me, there's no delusion. Project Moonlark twisted and tweaked your genetics until you became something other, and the Black Swan may be okay with that, but I would never do that to my child. All Stellar Loon does is use the natural forces in our world to bring out someone's full potential. Stellar Loon, Sophie repeated, trying to stay focused, trying not to glance at the blonde ring-lidded counselor across the room to see how she was reacting to all of this. I don't know why she thought of looking at Orly. Did they talk about Stellar Loon?
Read that part again?
She
glances at O'Reilly?
Yeah, she tried not to glance at O'Reilly across the room to see how she was reacting to all of this. Did they talk about it? I don't remember them talking about it, and I've read that scene a lot of times.
I don't know.
I
wonder, is it at the end of Unlocked? Is it, don't they mention somewhere in Unlocked one of the stars?
All I remember is the one that you can get Frisson from the fifth element, and then you can make Frisson out of it to extinguish Everblaze, because that's an Everblaze.
Okay, I'm going to have to look for it, because I feel like in Unlocked, they mentioned a star one of the other stars, and I was like, why are they mentioning this so much? And Sophie says something like, huh, I'll have to research that. Maybe it's not unlocked. Maybe it's in Legacy.
Maybe.
Okay, I'll just
I remember there being another star. I just don't remember what star
yeah,
it was.
It's just, it was mentioned somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe Sailor Moon has to do with that. I don't know. I'll look for it and update y'all, you know.
We'll say it in a future episode. We'll just be like, oh, by the way, this is what we found about Sailor Moon. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We already talked about, can Riley be trusted?
I've already ranted about her.
Yeah. Sophie's reaction is justified.
And, yeah, I mentioned that I have a question, not the question, but the question of whether Sophie would still trust Kenrick if they do find something in his catch.
Mm-hmm.
And he took Orly's memory. She said, like, while they were watching the memory, she was like, oh, he wouldn't do that to me, especially nothing malicious to me, because he's not allowed to without the council's permission, and we were close. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everyone knows what that means. But, but whenever he did take it, I was like, and even Orly seemed really shaken by it, because she just goes, wow, that wasn't what I was expecting.
Yeah.
So.
I think he's a lot like Keith, where
he just
he'll do things
does
to protect.
Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. To protect the person he loves.
Which I think is fine. Just don't be reckless with it. Like,
yeah.
Don't trust
join
Keith.
The
trust
never
Kenrick. Yeah. Don't do that. What if Kenrick was a double agent like Jolie?
For the Black Swan?
Yeah.
Oh, like for the Black Swan and Never Seen.
And there's that hint about that Forkel said.
I could see him
Forkel
being on the Black
Swan.
Needs
to reveal whatever he knows. Because
yeah, honestly,
remember where he
Forkel.
Says he wasn't involved in Project Moonlark, and that's all you need to know?
Yeah.
I wonder if he could have been, like, trying to be a double agent for the Never Seen, and then the Black Swan were, like, a double agent for the Council for the Never Seen. No, they didn't even know the Never Seen existed.
Just the Black Swan. I think that he just, after he found out Orly was on the Black Swan, or, like, worked with them, he was like, oh, I could do that.
Yeah.
And then at some point contacted them, or they contacted him, because they realized they could trust him, and he just started sort of informing them.
Yeah,
because Sophie did say
sense.
It sounded like, in book 2 and 3, Sophie was like, oh, the Black Swan has an informant on the council. I wonder who it is. They're probably so scary. And she suspected Brunt, but I think it was just Kenrick, and he was just helping.
Okay.
Or it could have been Orly, but she said she was entirely separate. That was part of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, we're going to keep moving because it's been...
Yes.
This is a long podcast.
So next chapter, Keith with Elwyn.
Keith,
my dear
child.
Yes. The first thing I have is... Keith being just like Sophie. I'm fine.
Right, I'm fine. Just let me out of the hospital. How long
I'm
have
fine.
I been asleep? I think Sophie overreacts just a little bit. Like, yeah, you were asleep for a week. It's okay, you know. It's just a week. You're going to live for a really long time.
True. And then my question, couldn't Keith mimic before?
So he could mimic, but it wasn't
exactly, perfect. Yeah.
It was pretty close, but it wasn't exactly perfect. I think that was just kind of a hint of his abilities. Mm-hmm. But the main kind of
That's
difference
pretty smart of Shannon right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. And there was the other hint of his abilities, him being able to feel Sophie without touching her.
Yeah.
And I'll give the reason
Cassius
for that when we get to his
too,
ability.
But...
Well, because they both took the Stellar Loon. Like Cassius
oh,
took the
right.
Stellar Loon. And so that's why just them two can sense her from across the room.
Mm-hmm.
What was I about to say? The main difference in Keith's polyglot ability is now he can, like, it's instinctive. He doesn't kind of have to think
mm-hmm.
about how to mimic someone and then try. He just mimics them.
Yeah, and he can speak different languages, too,
yes.
obviously.
Because he spoke Ogre with Ro.
Yeah. And didn't Gasila, did he learn from... I say Gasila. I know it's Gisela.
I say Gisela.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
It's
we
a
have
habit.
All of our different words, and so people mm-hmm. will understand
how to
us.
Say Gisela. Did Gisela teach him how to mimic, or did he just pick it up from her?
I think he just picked it up.
Okay. Because if she taught him, that would make sense, but...
I don't think she did.
Yeah, she wouldn't teach him.
No, she wasn't very nice.
No.
She was just not mean.
She's taking the shortcut.
Yeah.
Fitz violated the rules of telepathy.
Yeah.
Has he done that much? He really hasn't.
I feel like he's done it one other time. I don't mm-hmm. remember when. I feel like it
was
Sophie.
Did it. I know when.
Mm-hmm.
It's when Keith and Sophie. It's always Keith and Sophie.
Because he's nosy.
Yeah.
He's like his dad, you know?
Yes.
He just has to help.
Meddling.
Mm.
But it's when they were on the Selkie Beach. He did it before. Yeah. But then they were like, oh, Fitz, cry with us. Or whatever.
And he was like.
And this time it's like, Fitz, why did you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of, if my best friend, if I, like, read my thoughts while I was trying to say I'm fine, I would be pretty mad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Elwyn being amazing and sweet.
Elwyn, so in the first book, he was, like, hilarious. And I was like, oh, he's kind of a nice doctor. I like him. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't expecting all of this. And by the way, his battle training thing, is that in there? No, it isn't. That, the thing that he has, like, these super fast instincts and is a good fighter. And
yeah.
It's like he has battle training.
And then
training.
This,
cool.
This, it says, there's a lot, Elwyn says, there's a lot you don't know about me. And I was like, is that suspicious? Or is that just normal elves being mysterious?
I feel like it's very Elwyn of him. I don't know if it's, it could be suspicious. Mm-hmm. But it's also a lot like his personality, so
true.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. And then the pity versus concern thing.
Yes. So, I don't know what Keith's problem with pity is exactly. I think he just doesn't like people having to have a negative feeling because of him.
Yeah, or just, I know some people like that. You just don't want to mm-hmm. be pitied. You don't want people to be like, oh, you poor thing.
It's kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought that was really cool for people who feel like that to see, for Shannon to
it's
write
just
something
like we
in.
We just care about you.
Uh-huh. Like, sometimes there's pity, and then sometimes there's concern. And those are different, and you should accept when people are concerned about you because they care about you.
Yeah.
I just thought that was really, really sweet. Oh, yeah. And then I have Lady Gisella looking triumphant. In Keith's words, like, yay, torturing my son is the greatest thing I've ever done. It just made me mad.
She's just creepy.
Ugh.
Honestly. She's like, you know, I'm trying to think of Ventress. Like, she creeps me out like Ventress creeps me out. If anyone has seen, like, Star Wars Clone Wars, she's like the bald Sith person. She's scary.
Mm-hmm.
She's not as scary as she seems. But she's kind of just scary when you see her. You're like, mm-hmm. I feel like that's how you reacted, Gisella. I realize you can't see my facial expressions, but I think you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
She's just
creepy.
The stuff she says, like Vespera, too.
Mm-hmm. Just so twisted, thinking about her own son. Ugh, it's awful.
And then Sophie arrives.
Yep, Sophie arrives.
Cue the Foster Keith shipping.
Also, so I wrote down, why do Sophie's emotions cause Keith to react like that? I really just mean, wow, Sophie's emotions cause Keith to react like that. Cause
it's like a lot of,
Yeah. All he could feel was fear and fury and panic and pain and hate and horror and sadness and regret. Yikes, Sophie.
That's a lot of negative emotions, Sophie. I wonder if he can sense her emotions that she stored for inflicting.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought of that.
That might be part of it. And also then, her enhancement, of course.
Mm-hmm. But she learned to control that.
Mm-hmm. So. Like, there are multiple hints throughout this of, like, Sophie being
mentally
unstable.
Yeah. She has, like, three depression, like, cycles.
Uh-huh.
Where just, Sophie?
Sophie.
And she's a little bit,
They're gonna come out of this with so much trauma.
Yeah. Sophie already has trauma. Like, she never sleeps.
Yeah.
Ever. And she won't
Keith
take
is,
anything
Keith
to help
Keith,
her
too.
Sleep.
His mom is like.
Yeah.
Ugh. Fitz? Vianna?
Fitz and Vianna.
Gracious.
They're fine.
This has messed up Vianna's, all of their lives.
Vianna's definitely a little messed up from the thing, but she's handled it well.
Yeah.
Fitz is just being extra, in my opinion, about Alvar. Like, child. Fitz. What? Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of, oh, right. I think another reason it could have overwhelmed him whenever he, like, grabbed Sophie's hand or whatever was because he sensed all of her ability potential. I think that she might have a lot more ability potential than we know because we only know, like, 5 or 6 of her abilities or something.
5 or 6 of them.
There could be a lot more.
A few.
Right.
Yeah.
So he probably also sensed that because, you know, he felt really cold whenever one of Dex's siblings touched him, or empty whenever another one. So with Sophie, he probably was feeling all of those things, plus all of her emotions, plus maybe her inflicting emotions.
Gracious.
Yeah, it's probably a lot.
Yeah. It's crazy how he just mentions negative emotions. Like, that's, whew.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is Keith being scared to talk and how strange it is.
So tell me, can you say the thing that you were saying about, like, your friend who had a headache?
Oh, okay. Shout out to, should I say his name? He'll know
who
it is.
Yeah, because you're in the, YouTube thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay. Shout out to Riley, who will probably listen to this in, like, months because he's being annoying and not buying the book. It just reminded me. So, my friend Riley, we compare him to Keith a lot. They're not exactly similar.
They're pretty similar.
But they're
the YouTube video, I can see they're pretty similar.
Yeah, they can be pretty similar. Anyway, I remember this one time we were at a party, and Riley is usually, like, you know, pretty Keith-like at parties. And this one time, he got a really bad headache, and he had, like, an allergic reaction to something, I think. I don't remember how it worked, but... it was outside, and I just remember we were all watching a movie, and he just laid in the grass with his hands on his head, and we would talk to him, and it was just so weird to see him silent like that. Like,
he should have hid under a blanket. It would have been the perfect touch. Uh-huh.
He probably would have. He almost went home, but he just had such a bad headache. Like, even when he would stand up, he was silent, and it was just the strangest thing. Mm-hmm. And when I was reading about Keith, it reminded me of that.
And just, like, also, whenever Keith... is silent, the complete, like, he just turns into a little baby. Mm-hmm. Like, he hides under his blankets.
Uh-huh. And don't get me wrong, like, Riley, he listens pretty well one-on-one, but, like, it's like Keith does, basically. Mm-hmm. But just seeing him silent in a groove like that, it's the same energy was with mm-hmm. Keith. Yeah. But Keith...
It reminded me of his memory in, like, Never Seen, where he got home from Lady Drusilla, like, opening the Nightfall thing with his blood or whatever, and he just got home, and he just wrapped up in the covers and went to sleep. Mm-hmm. It was like that.
Yeah. I have that quote, like, in here baby somewhere. Keith. We'll find it. It's so sad. It reminded me of Never Seen, when mm-hmm. his hair is droopy.
Yes, and they were like, time to worry.
Yeah.
Alden has left the chat.
Mm-hmm. That meme I see all the time about, like, it shows where Keith's hair goes down. It's like, this is Never Seen really was the game changer.
By the way, sorry about the loud sound in the background. Someone's blowing off the leaves. I don't know if you can hear that or not, but if you can hear it, it's just someone blowing off the leaves at this building. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry about that.
pausing to discuss Keith's ability.
Okay, so, yes. Wait, I'm on the wrong page. No.
No, you're not. It's right here.
You're right. Okay.
So I kind of put together all of the different things that I noticed about it. So it's kind of like he has this empathy still, but it's enhanced. It's like mm-hmm. he can feel everyone from across the room instead of just Sophie.
Well, but that kind of went away. Could he do it on command? It faded?
Maybe.
He might be able to do it on command. It faded, yeah. Definitely.
Then, but he said he could also feel it, like, whenever their emotions got stronger, he could still feel them from across the room.
Okay.
Because it said, like, Kessler started worrying or something and he could feel
oh.
it.
Oh. Maybe.
I don't remember. I think. Polyglot, you know, he's a polyglot now. The similarity to the Mesmer Beguiler, where he can just say a word and it makes people feel or not feel or whatever. And then the thing where he can tell what people's abilities are. It's kind of similar mm-hmm. to Tarek's ability as a Deskrier.
See, that's where it fits into Casilla's plan.
Right.
You can tell who has an ability, who doesn't, which could mm-hmm. be part of her superior Elysian thing.
Right, and for the human part, so they've already kind of taken him around to feel different humans' emotions and to have the ones that are the better humans or whatever, the ones that meet the criterion. And then whenever, with his ability as a polyglot, he can speak all the human languages. With his command ability, he can command the humans to control them. Same with the elves, he can command the elves to control them.
I didn't even think about the language thing. Yeah, oh, same with, he can do it to all species.
Mm-hmm. He can control everyone, because he controlled Ro.
Yeah.
So.
Whew.
Yeah, the Never Seen have a lot of power now. They just have to manipulate him. Mm-hmm. Man, if the Never Seen had a Mesmer, because they tried to, that's probably why they tried to recruit Grady so much.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Yeah.
Wow.
It's so.
Because if they had a Mesmer to control mm-hmm. Keith.
The empathy thing, are they trying to see, at first I was like, oh, they're trying to numb him.
They might be. That could be how they recruit him. It could be like a backup plan.
So, more spoilers, but now that he's going to be with the humans, as the cobalt mm-hmm. crystal showed, he's going to be surrounded by emotions all the
time. I think the Never Seen knew that, and now they have him alone with the humans, so now they're going to
I don't think so.
Able to carry out their own plan. You don't think?
They didn't know that.
I don't know. What do you think?
No. I think this is totally Keith turning their plan upside down. They're going to start winning. You could be so. Right, but I think
we're at the end of the series. I think that storehouse thing was kind of the turnaround. But we'll get to it.
But that's why I don't think they'd know about that. But I could be wrong. But I think that was Keith being like, okay, I'm not going to let her win. Let me flip the plane upside down, but actually do it right this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When, if he does have mentors at some point, that would mean he would have four mentors, and they would likely be orally, either Counselor Clarette or Lady Cadence, Counselor Alina, and Counselor Tarek. Just having those four people in a room together would be so much fun. Especially with if Orly really did get Lady Cadence, who Sophie told Orly that she thought Lady Cadence was her mom or like suspected her at one point. I don't know, that would just be a funny mix.
Random thought. Do you remember this quote? I'm reading the back of Lodestar right now. It says, where Dex comes up with the theory that Keith might be created as her enemy.
But he really kind of is. Like, I don't think that was their intention.
It says right here, if the Lodestar initiative was the Never Seen's version of Project Moonlark.
It's true. So, they really might have been, to some extent, wanting to design an elf that was the strongest elf.
Yeah. They had similar...
For their purpose.
Yeah, they had similar plans.
Yeah.
Just, it's like that quote, I have it in here somewhere, where Bianca says, or Sophie says, like, they have... Let me find it.
All right.
Sorry, now we're into theorizing.
This is fun.
Where do they go to... Where's she with Bianca? Oh, okay. Sophie says, both groups exist because of the same problems. They just have very different solutions. Like murdering, Bianca mumbled. So it's interesting. They exist because of the same problems, and they go at them in a similar way with Project Moonlark and Keith, but still such different approaches.
Right, because Keith's ability is, like, controlling, and, I mean, the only really controlling ability that Sophie has is inflicting, and that's mostly for use on the Never Seen, clearly not the elves. So
it's for combat, basically.
Right, defense,
yeah.
Continue.
And she can only use it. Well,
whenever she gets, whenever she's actually in a position where she needs to use it as a defense, unless she becomes old and angry like Bront.
Yep.
And he just casually inflicts on Sophie. Mm-hmm. And then Kenric babysat. Okay, that's sidetracked. Continuing.
Okay.
Do you think at some point he will accept the ability and kind of come back to the circle of friends, or how do you think that's going to work?
I don't know, man. I'm confused. I have to think about this more, because I could figure it out if I think about it, I feel like. Somewhat, but
it's gonna be
he's not gonna he's gonna learn a lot from the humans, and he's gonna come back. I have no doubt about that, but I don't know when.
And like the same, will he be Keith again one day, or is he still gonna always be really, really weird and different? Like,
no, he's gonna be Keith again,
hopefully.
Yeah.
And then the earplugs, are they too easy of a way to get around his? This is a question she asked actually whenever she read the book. She was thinking the earplugs were too easy of a way to get around the ability. Like, why can't everyone wear earplugs? Do you still agree with yourself?
I don't know.
I think, like, everyone can't wear earplugs all the time because then they can't hear each other. Like, they can't just be like, oh, Keith, I'm just going to come visit you in your earplugs.
You'd have to have a telepath. But, like, if say, the Black Swan needed to go near... So Keith, say Keith turned evil, not gonna happen, but like needed to get near him, and they had Sophie talking to everyone telepathically, that could work if they wore earplugs. But I don't know, Keith could get stronger
and then be able to
do it,
control
or
no matter what.
It might have only worked because he didn't want to override the earplugs.
Right.
I don't know,
that's
don't
true
know. Yeah, it's his ability is just really powerful. So we don't know
it's
yet.
Scary. Okay, continuing with the actual book.
It seems like he can do whatever he wants with his toys. Okay.
Continuing with the actual book. A mention of Jinsy's brother is in there.
Yeah. So
who mentioned that? When was that?
They're talking about abilities, and someone says, I think Sophie says, Jinsy said his brother got stuck half-phased on the floor.
So they keep bringing up Jinsei's brother, which he's totally Blur.
Yeah.
I have no doubt. Yeah. I did want to look and see if Jinsei ever mentions his brother getting, or not Jinsei, like, if Blur ever mentions, when I manifested, I got stuck half-phased on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I want to look for that. Because mm-hmm. that would be like, oh, there it is. So, but yeah, he's totally Blur.
That's true. This is next. It is a quote you found, so go ahead.
No, you should read it. I read them all.
He was the most stubborn, rebellious person she'd ever met, but there was no fight left in his eyes. He looked only torn and shattered as he turned towards Orly and nodded that, yes, he wanted Sophie to stay away. So that moment, by the way, I'm in... Sydney's going to be mad at me for saying this, but I'm glad that Orly did leave it up, because that at least made Sophie forgive her a little, be like, oh, you know, you're
not... Oh, I'm not mad.
You don't want to ruin my life. Well, but now she's mad at Keith instead.
No, but it's still better. She might be mad at Keith, but, like, it needed to be his decision.
Yeah.
They have to go through a little bit of stuff.
Yeah.
I agree with what Keith did.
Yeah.
I don't think...
I'm just glad she's not mad at Orly.
Mm-hmm.
Because she would have been really mad at her still.
I don't blame Keith for telling Sophie to stay away. Like, would I have done it? Probably not. But I understand why he did it.
He's
protecting her. Yeah.
Kind of like how we understand why Kenrick washed Orly's mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he did give her the memory. Well, one of them, supposedly. Mm-hmm. Continuing. Then Keith goes to Ellen's house.
Yep.
Ellen volunteers to be like his adoptive parent, which is nice. Yes.
You could skip my note there. Okay. Okay, maybe now you have to read it because you're laughing.
So Sydney wrote that light triggers her headaches, so she would have a hard time with Ellen's sparkles.
Yeah, when Ro was talking about the sparkles in that house, I was like, oof.
So you must have really, like, empathized with Sophie and all of Exile whenever every time she sees light, she just gets an exploding headache.
Yep. That's how it is for me.
Ouch.
Especially, so my sister, I say she would be a flasher because her room, literally has, she has LED lights around the very top of her room that flash. She has a disco ball. She has another disco ball. She has fairy lights. It's insane. Like, and she sprays perfume in there all the time. So when I walk into her room, like 50% of the time I walk out with a headache. I can't do it. Yeah. It's awful. But yeah, no,
that's
fun. Emphasize with Sophie and with Ro with being like, sparkles, what? I like sparkles. Just not light.
The headache part.
Yeah.
And then Sophie goes to Havenfield.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what this is.
The quote at Sophie goes to
Havenfield. Oh, yeah. Where'd so you then. You read it again. It's,
you
want
me to read it?
You want me to read it?
I can read it and then you're going to react. Okay.
Okay. So it's talking about Keith and Sophie's thoughts about the drama of him telling her to stay away.
Right. He was being cautious instead of reckless, and it wasn't like he had told her to stay away forever. But her mind kept replaying that nod he gave Orly. The set of his jaw and the determination in his eyes almost felt like he wasn't even going to miss her. Like he didn't care at all.
Okay. So on one hand, first of all, Sophie, that's ridiculous. You really don't know Keith that well, do you?
She does the same thing with Orly.
She has, like, a pessimistic streak so much.
It's like, if anyone doesn't want her around or she finds out anything bad about them, it's like, oh, you just don't care about me at all.
Go straight to that. She needs... I feel bad for her. She needs help.
She needs therapy.
Yeah, she really does. But I wonder... So I want to have faith in Sophie and be like, oh, she's going to understand why Keith left.
She will eventually.
Yeah, she will eventually. But this makes me think she's going to jump to the worst conclusion and be like, Keith, he doesn't care about me. He left. He didn't have faith in me. But then also, just the sadness of, where is it? Oh, yeah, where she says.
Like he wasn't even going to miss her.
No, wait.
Like he wasn't even going to miss her. I'm thinking that's what you're talking
no,
about.
No, also where it says, and it wasn't like he had told her to stay away forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like he does at the
Not
end
yet.
Of the book.
Yep.
Ugh. Shannon definitely wrote that knowing
that she was going to do that in the end.
Uh-huh. Ugh. See, Keith, why couldn't you just say, I'll come back when the war is over? You could just do that.
But would he? Like, in his mind right now, he thinks he has to stay away even when the war's over.
Yeah, because he can't control his ability.
Right. So he could still control him even when there's no war.
But he should have said, we're going to work it out once the war's over. I just have to stay away. That's what's going to...
And okay. You begin the next discussion, because this is your...
Oh.
Your note.
Okay. So it's the Keith and Sophie telepathic
You skipped a part. Is this...
Oh, I did.
This page. You're at the right. At the top.
Sorry, it's the first time we've done this. Okay. Oh, yeah. I said Adeline and Sophie, insert discussion about good role models.
Short rant. Okay, Orly's not that bad, Sophie. She's not a bad role model. She sacrificed, like, her life for you. Okay, go on.
But I was just thinking, one time, I read an Amazon review, I think it was on Amazon or Goodreads, of an adult reviewing Keep It Lost Cities. And one of the things... It was a really good review. Maybe I'll post it on the Instagram if I can find it. But one of the things they said is that it's really cool how Keeper has such bad role models of parents and such good role models of parents and adults in the series.
And it shows the difference.
Mm-hmm. Totally shows the difference. And, like, that was clear with Adeline and Sophie and how Adeline was like, I trust you. It's easy being your mom. Just Elwyn, all of it.
Yeah, the right mix of protecting and trusting is how Sydney said it to me earlier.
I really like, so many books just have awful parents and they hate their parents and stuff, but they find a way to get around, like, there's a writing rule that's called, like, the orphan rule or something where you have to find a way to get the parents out of the picture.
Right.
They kind of do that in Neverseen, but for the rest of it, they kind of just... integrate the parent thing very well, and I like that because it doesn't teach kids that to hate your parents or that having parents causes you less freedom. It teaches them they care about you, they love you, just I really like that,
and they want to help you. Keith with Dex. This is the first sort of part. There's a quote, and Sydney can read it this time because I've read the last two.
Okay, so this is the quote where Keith's thinking about his ability and what Gisela could want from it. Is it still going? It is. Wow.
Yeah.
His mom craved power and control, and now she'd given him an ability that let him turn everyone around him into useless, mindless shells. People with no feelings, no fear, no guilt. And if they were given the right commands, boom, instant ruthless army. That's page 615. So I wonder if that could be what she's going to do with humans or the rest of...
Yeah, she can use humans. So they've kind of attacked every intelligent species by now and made the Lost Cities stop having faith in the council enough that if they told the elves that the elves were going to follow them, then the elves would be like, you know, whatever we can do because we know that we're powerless against you because we've seen the council's powerless against you. You know, whatever, we have to do it. The humans are a little bit harder to control because there's way more of them than there's elves. And they haven't seen the Neverseen in action before. So I feel like that's a lot of what Keith's power is going to be used for. Mm-hmm. But speculation still because we have no idea where we're going.
There's so many pieces and I just don't know how they fit together yet.
Right.
Gotta think, like, we should do an episode theorizing and trying to think like Gisela. Gisela. Whichever.
She's so creepy.
Okay. and then I wrote me like you, the ability restrictor narrative coming back into play.
That was the first time Bron ever took Sophie's side, and I was so surprised.
I just like that she brought something up from one of the early books.
You're like, oh, a reference. I know that.
Yeah, I like that. It comes back in play.
Yeah.
And then Keith cries at Ro, you're worth, when she says you're worth keeping around.
And he just...
He cries so much in this book, like four times.
He's just an emotional mess.
Uh-huh.
Poor Keith.
Yeah. And then the next part is the real part with Dex. Yeah, he definitely does. This is, like, when Keith first starts talking to Dex or something. But the next part.
Well,
in a minute. Yeah. So then after this, Sophie goes to Candleshade.
Yeah, she does.
I promise the part with Dex is in a minute.
It's not the best scene in the book. It's not.
No.
It's a little Fitzy for our tastes, but that's okay. So by the way, whenever Shannon was releasing the, like, short little quotes from it, a lot of them were from the scene, and, like, with Sophie and Lord Cassius talking to each other, and I was like, why is she hanging out with Cassius so much? But it's it's just the one scene, so I don't know.
The quotes she chooses are so random.
They don't tell you anything. Yeah. That's
intentional. I don't think she chooses the quotes.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But if she does, then it would be, like, intentionally trying to lead us away from guessing anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Fitz and Sophie moment in it is, man, she'd missed having him smile at her. Is that a threat to Sokeef, or is that just sweet? I think that's a threat to Sokeef.
Okay, so I don't think that quote is a threat to Sokeef, but what happens in a few minutes...
it's like Dex. Like, whenever Dex is being nice to her again.
But then in a few minutes, there was something... I don't know if I wrote down anything about it, but there's something later that I was like... Whenever it's the thing, the hand thing.
Which one is that?
She says a few minutes later, like, they're like, can we be friends again? And then she mentions none of them reach for each other's hands. And I'm like, why would you even reach for each other's hands?
Hmm.
No, you've broken up.
Right.
But then she's I was like,
maybe one day they would get better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's
but
kind
then
of
I
the...
was like, they're cognates. So reaching for each other's hands.
Their trust is broken.
Does. True. But it she
not
wants it to be
anymore.
Back. It might go back.
Okay, what book was it where it was in Lodestar where Orly was telling Sophie that she was gonna get the meeting with Gethin and Fitz is like, but I should come along because and Orly goes, yes, I'm aware of your telepathic connection or something like that. Yeah. And I was like,
no, she's like,
thank
I'm
you.
Aware
I'm aware of that your comments.
Yeah.
I think Alina does the same thing to them in book 7. It was funny. Maybe it was whenever they were on Team Valiant. And Emery was like, yes, we know that you're cognizant. It's just like the entire Sokeef people being like, we know.
Yes, we understand. But, okay, don't cognizants reach for each other's hands? Maybe she didn't mean it in a romantic way. Maybe she meant it. It's Sophie. She's going to mean it slightly in a romantic way. But maybe it's not a hint to Fitzvi. It's a hint. There's too much Keith Foster.
See, right? Sydney trying to figure out how to rule out the Fitz fee is like me trying to rule out Kendrick being dead, which I do.
I'm
a little bit pessimistic. I don't think that Fitz fee will be in game. I think that if it comes to the point where Keith isn't around, Sophie will end up a counselor. That's honestly what I think.
Keith is coming back. There's too much. Shannon's too good of a writer to lead up to something and leave it off.
I hope so.
She led up to a rally being her mom with just a little bit. There's overwhelming Sokeef evidence. She wouldn't just leave it off. I trust her. But
I can really see her just being like, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cause pain. Emotional pain. Sydney just gave me a look like, don't finish that sentence. I mean, this...
Okay. I was right about flashback.
There were some...
I know these ships.
She does. But I'm just trying to scare her.
Yeah, I know.
Mostly because of Kenrick.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fitzvi, maybe they'll have a slight
comeback. I'm a little bit
comeback.
Nervous about it, though.
I'm a little nervous. But I'm not super...
Especially because
nervous.
Of what Keith said in his letter. We gotta move forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think she can go back to Fitz, though. She says, I broke up with him. It was complicated. Like, I was proud of Sophie when she's like, I broke up with him. We're going to let this go.
But, in the beginning, it said that she was still upset about it or, like, really, really sad and hurt about it. And then, you know, orally apologizes. Of course she does. And then in whatever Fitz says, even if that's true, you guys are close, talking about Sophie and Keith.
Yeah.
And Sophie goes, we're friends, in a squeaky voice, which is just like, yeah, but that's not what your heart emotions say, Sophie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, was he justified in telling Cassius about Keith? Right, so he did the same thing, by the way, that, so Sophie got really mad at Orly for telling the council about Keith's abilities, but...
Then Fitz goes
I'm still
and
trying
tells
to figure out how
Cassius.
To interpret that. Right, Fitz went and told Cassius, who, I mean, is kind of on the same level as Alina, maybe a little worse because...
Sophie hates Cassius.
Really, yeah.
Like, people who hurt... I was noticing, people who have hurt Keith, she gets really mad at.
Really mad at. Because of her hard emotions. Mm-hmm.
She's randomly... She's just randomly in her mind like, I will make them pay. Really, though. I can find the quotes. She's like, someday I'll make them pay. Really, she is... I was reading it last night. Anyway.
It makes her sound so dark.
Yeah.
I guess she is an inflictor. Keith mm-hmm. did say one time, like, oh, I didn't know you had such a dark side to you. And she's like, yes, I'm an inflictor.
Like, pain and fear and ruthless, like, whatever.
Right, all of the things that he felt.
Hate. Yep.
Next thing. Keith and Sophie have a telepathic conversation.
Wait, did we finish that?
I think we did, yeah. That was all of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're right. Keith and Sophie have a telepathic conversation and takes me back to Lodestar. What did we miss?
Why did Cassius leap away to where...
Oh, you're right. That was at the top. Yeah. Why did Cassius leap away into where when she said merged abilities? I don't know if Shannon was
that
just
was
like...
the and the weirdest thing. And they didn't even try to stop him.
They were just like, oh, he's gone. Fits me.
One thing I know is it's in the Lost Cities, which is helpful, unless he was leaping to another location to get another crystal.
Oh, that's a good theory.
It was it was a pathfinder.
He's just always been like that. He's just always been like, I will tell you one thing, and now I'm done. I'm leaving.
Yeah. But it was so weird. There was something suspicious, something else suspicious about that. I don't know. But that was weird. We got to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
I bet that'll be one of the first things we find out in the next book is, like, Cassius is going to come back and be like...
Yeah, he's just going to appear. Maybe that's why there are, like, so many Cassius quotes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what I was saying, Keith and Sophie, telepathic conversation, like all of Lodestar. Mm-hmm. I've read that book so many times, I love it. the quote, he tunneled under his blankets after Dex left, and he'd been there ever since, tossing and turning and flailing and thrashing and just generally feeling sorry for himself.
So relatable.
Like,
that's me sometimes.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. I can see that. That's me in the mornings whenever I'm just like, I don't want to get up, it's too early. Mm-hmm. And then I fall asleep and almost miss stuff.
And then my note says, no real notes here, except they're cute. Because they were cute.
And then the sweet alicorn thing. And then their minds stayed connected while he fell asleep.
I was like, I can actually picture them being married.
I'm sorry.
Sydney.
I love them. Oh, my goodness.
It was just so sweet. That's like being on the phone with someone and not being able to sleep, and then they're like, I'll stay until you fall asleep. That's just so cute.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that, this didn't make me think of, but it was whenever Kenrick asked Orly to leave the council, and he was like, we could have our own place, maybe even our own family one day. And I was like, Kenrick and Aurelia's parents would be the most adorable thing. I'm going to cry. Okay, moving on. I'm actually upset. We just need a moment to emotionally process this.
So Keith and Sophie can be the new Kenrick and Aurelia.
They're not the same.
They're not the same, but they can they can continue the Kenrick. Aurelia legacy. Okay.
Dex Kessler and the twins.
Yes.
Rue being driven crazy by Keith not talking. Oh my
that
goodness.
Was so funny. She was like, talk, talk.
She really was. And, like, I think it's because she's so worried and she's just like, I want you to say something.
Uh-huh. Because then trying to get him to say something.
Because then it means you're okay.
It didn't feel like teasing. It felt like,
yeah,
say something, concern. I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah.
I can picture her being so sad.
Bex has a crush on Keith.
Oh, yes.
No, he said something about one of his mentors having a crush on him in number one. And it was like, Sophie was 90% sure she was joking. But he was very good looking.
And then Bex, what did Bex say? She was like, he's too cute for that. Or something like that.
Something like that. Uh-huh. It was just really funny.
And then Keith was like, well, that's awkward.
I can also verify that siblings that age, what are they, 12, 13? Mm-hmm. They are
12, I think.
Capable of that. Now, it would make much more sense if they were 7 or 8. Because I can say the 7-year-old and 5-year-old in my house are the loudest. But whenever my sister was 12, by the way, I have 3 sisters and 4 brothers, so... There's a lot of good ones that I can be talking
about. I have 2 sisters, so.
she, you know how kids are loud. Really loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my sister, who I've been talking about the whole time, the one who bawled at the end of Unlocked, she, whenever she was 12, was, oh my goodness, very loud.
I remember when I stayed at your house that time, and your siblings kept talking to me, and it was very sweet, but I was like, I can't pay attention to all of you at once.
Yeah, there were like 5 of them, all talking to her at the same time. All asking different questions. Thank you for listening to the Forbidden Cities podcast. Leave us a review and tell a friend about the podcast if you liked us. Email us with comments and episode suggestions at theforbiddencitiespodcast@gmail.com. And to follow us on Instagram, just search @ Forbidden Cities Podcast.